Well, you know, since we're having this conversation, which I think is good, you know, for the record, I am not at all opposed to selling the land. But it would be nice, I think, for us to hear what are the pros and cons in terms of municipal ownership versus private ownership. Because you can certainly covenant a piece of land, even though it's held privately, to preclude any development. I'm thinking you can do, I should say, I think you can do that.
Well, and one of the other things that I'm sure that Alberici would think about is if he owns it, he's going to have to insure it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we own it, our insurance probably is not going to increase all the lot because it's just more municipal
It's
property.
Probably the smartest thing for us to own it. And I just want to make sure that the town's hands are tied forever, that the town can't change its mind.
We can set aside land as forever wild.
That's the most important thing.
Can't be undone.
So another town board can't pass a local law to rescind it?
No.
I would say that we would want to put the restricted covenants in the deed, whether the town owns it or not. That way.
The deed to us would have the same.
So, Tony, I guess what I'm struggling, because I remember when we had the conversation, I thought you said something to the effect of, the board couldn't tie a future board's hands. So anything our board does, another board 50 years from now could undo through, maybe I'm not remembering it right.
Well, but if you do it through a covenant, that's...
So they can't undo the covenant?
No.
And what Al is saying is it's still owned by Alberici. Alberici puts it in the deed that it will remain forever wild, and then we accept it. So we can't. That's the deal. We accepted it under those conditions.
Yeah.
That will make me happy.
I think we're
okay
from a protection standpoint.
All right. And again, I'm in no rush that this happens. I just was curious, you know, where we were at.
But, how far away are they, Jim? How long are they from doing all that?
Relatively close. Right. Yeah, relatively close. They had to pave. National Grid was insisting that they pave 100 feet up the sub street into the stub street into phase two. Because they're putting a transformer at the lot line, and they won't work off of stone, so they're paving the two little stub streets tomorrow, and I'm assuming they'll ask to come in front of the planning board by, if they don't ask for the May meeting, they'll be in for the June meeting, and then we would, you know, come to the town board either the May 16th meeting or the June 4th meeting, whatever day the first, third day of the 4th.
Great. And then what were you saying about there are parking spots for the pond? And
no, there was not. Originally we had talked about it, and then the resolution the town board passed, they took those out.
Okay. And we're under no obligation to maintain the pond or are we?
Oh, yeah.
I feel that it's in a residential subdivision. We should certainly maintain it in accordance with our town code that says, you know, you got to keep it mowed just like everybody else's property. So I think we got to mow that. I do. I mean, at the very least, monthly or you know, you got to make it look. You can't have it as a weed lot in the middle of a residential subdivision. I don't know if that's we wouldn't allow somebody to do that with their lawn, so we, I don't know if we can.
Is it part of the drainage district?
No.
Or drainage easements?
We could tell them to put it in the drainage district so we can force the drainage district to pay for it.
Make it feel like Giddings Crest.
Yep.
That pond down there.
Yep. Yeah.
That's where it belongs.
Yep.
That's where it
belongs. Annoying around it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's drainage through going through it, so we can certainly put a drainage easement over it. Actually, I believe the plat, as shown on the plat, has a drainage easement around the pond, so I'll have to
check that. Hey, Joe.
All right, so one.
How are you?
The idea here is
good,
to put it in the drainage district.
As I recall, the preliminary plat map showed an easement over that lot for drainage, so that would be, in that regard, it'd be a drainage district expense.
Just for your own peace of mind, you may want to keep an high on the agenda, planning board agenda. But when it comes up, you may want to go and just make sure you hear all the things that you want to hear.
So yeah, that would be, I would like to attend the planning board when this comes up, so just remind me in church. And then, Al, it just in terms of looking out into the future, any pond, if you leave it alone, will silt in over the years. I mean, are we accepting the responsibility to dredge that pond and keep it as a pond?
Mm-hmm. We own it.
That's we're part of the drainage district, so yeah.
Yep. Isn't there a contract? You guys have public hearings on this, so.
Contract.
I'm zoning.
Is it with them on
Is there any paperwork on?
Yeah, there's a letter of intent, and yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was under the understanding when this went through that the town was going to own that 36 acres.
They are.
So.
Yeah,
it seemed like you had a question of were we going to own it or not, but that seemed pretty cut and dry.
Well, we're talking about the pond, not the 36 acres.
But he was talking about the 36 acres earlier, the Forever Green area.
Yeah, I guess you would view it as a contract. We accepted their letter of intent, and
that was your offer. He accepted it. I would imagine they signed it.
Yeah.
So I think all this was in there.
It is. That's
what I said earlier when I was asked. It was in the negotiations.
Good.
Well, it's not anything out of the normal. I think this happens on a regular basis. Many other places around have done this, so it's not
anything good you're reading?
No, this is good.
Okay. Huh? Anything good you're reading?
Town law.
Oh, it's enthralling.
I bet. I thought it was Game of Thrones.
It's hard to put down.
It's hard to pick up.
Anybody want here? I guess tonight.
That's a light.
Rip off a piece of Columbus Baker. Anyone? Good stuff.
Columbus Baker.
It's good stuff.
Oh yeah.
That was hot an hour and a half ago.
And when you go pick it up, it doesn't get hot all the way home.
No, I know. No. Although it's $3 a loaf now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I just bought one the other day, and I was surprised. I thought it was still $2.50 or $2.75.
And $2.50, I thought was.
Yeah.
So,
$3.
You won't stop buying it, will you?
Nope, I won't. Not over 50 cents.
Patty used to buy two loaves, one for the car ride home with the food safe. If you only bought one of them, just the bread.
Well, I guess. I mean, you guys get to start it.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about Collington Point. We got a lot of
clear discussion about Collington
Point. I did all my research while we were there.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to talk about.
Check his bill carefully.
I talked to Jack, talked to Al. Got it all figured out.
Any questions on any of the line items that we're going to be voting on tonight?
Just to let you know, Mario has submitted all of his paperwork to me, which I've reviewed. Everything is fine. He just has to submit his bond, and we're all set to
go. Can we change the language on those?
So, yeah.
No,
so
where are we at with
Highland Meadows?
We will need to add language onto resolution.
CD.
That is contingent on the security shown in road motions F and E be filed in the town clerk's office. We gave Mario a call this afternoon. He said that they would be filed on next week Wednesday, which is the 8th.
Okay. So item G should read that the following street, sanitary sewers, and associated drainage, you said G, right?
Yes.
And associated drainage utilities included in the Highland Meadows Phase 3 and 4 subdivision be accepted.
As official town roads contingent on the developer filing a punch list and maintenance securities with town.
Contingent. the developer filing
punch list security.
Punch list securities. And
roadway, sanitary, and drainage securities.
Punch list securities
and maintenance security, sorry.
And maintenance securities with the town clerk?
Correct.
Okay, I'll in regards to that item.
Yep.
You know, this whole
deal.
I'm just getting a look at it now. We're in Highland Meadows. We're talking about accepting a road that's not even there yet.
That's what they requested. I prepared a securities letter that provides us with punch list securities for, so we got $429,000 to complete the road.
Is the road only, or does that include the sewers?
No, all the sewer, water, drainage, all that's already in place. Okay. Right now, they quite frankly can't box a road base without making a huge mess because it's so soft. I mean, I'm...
Well, I'm just looking at the dollar amount and the distance. We're looking at almost a half a mile of road.
Yeah, but they've got the sub base in for the first 616 feet, I believe it is.
Of that half a mile?
Yeah.
Is that the part that we already did the light paving on? That 500 feet?
Yep. So, I mean, the numbers, so actually, if you look at the
more than double that.
Yep.
Distance.
Yep.
What I'm familiar with.
So just so you know, the numbers in the punch list for the placement of the sub base, I use $35 a ton in place
for
sub base.
Sub base.
For sub base.
Questions?
Thank you.
Is that
actually? Let me divide that out.
How conservative of a number is that?
That's a good number.
Well, I'll rush.
Yeah.
Yep.
Put a bet on it.
Yeah, $35. Yeah. I mean, it's within 3 inches of being at grade. They've got a skim on it just to try to get the water to sheet right now, but it's... If we keep getting rain like this, I mean, it's just killing all the contractors from getting work done simply because everything's completely saturated right now.
Right. Well, I just have my reservations about...
I do, too. I have my reservations about...
The whole process there.
I do. I mean, this is not how we normally do. This isn't normally how we do this.
Even what we did last fall for them.
This is not something that we normally do. I mean, I'm
just that deal last fall took a lot of. We haven't done this before.
I'm.
Protect us from ending up with a bad road.
I have a question about that, and I'm glad you were talking about it. The last time we discussed something like this, we put it on here. It was a request from the developer to put a resolution on here. Then we started discussing it, and it was a bad idea.
No, we put additional demands that at the time they weren't willing to. Okay, we wanted securities for the entire road, and they were like, eh.
So then they backed away because okay, so with that in mind, how do you feel about these two motions, right?
I mean, this really, truly is a town board decision. I feel that my punch list number is adequate to cover us if the developer... Exactly.
That's my most major concern
We ended up doing it ourselves.
Just so you guys know, the asphalt numbers are significantly escalated. I got $80 a ton in there for binder, or $90 a ton in there for binder in place, and $100 a ton for top in place, which is
plenty.
very high.
Yeah. The only thing that bothers me is, you know, that area down there is quite soft.
It is.
And I've been down in there, and, you know, sub-base material, you know, $35, yeah, that's fine. But it could end up being a junk road, in my estimation, because of the conditions we currently have, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's what, I don't want to...
I would say, under normal circumstances...
You can make a good road on that.
Huh?
You can make a good road on that if it's dry when you start placing the
stones. I have my concerns with it's a damn wet down there now, and
you don't want to place stone right now on that material.
It'll sink.
We got exactly. Enough roads that were done. That, I'm going to say incorrectly.
So
you know.
I mean, I guess with that being said, the last thing I want to see them do right now is try to put subbase on that road. I don't think that from a construction practices standpoint, that's a good move.
In some areas of the town, you can do that. We've got
there's some good drain areas.
Now it's a different deal.
Yeah.
There's a different soil. That down there is pretty squishy.
All right, so to get back to my point, so if a developer, I mean, the developer's looking out for the developer. I get that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out for the town.
Yeah.
This is on here because it was asked.
Correct. There's no...
Now I'm looking at my expert saying, what would you... How do you... I mean, you have reservations, obviously. Mm-hmm.
I have reservations, however...
Both of you have reservations.
I feel that the securities are adequate to cover us if something goes wrong.
But why are we doing this?
This was a request from the developer. Joe knew about it.
This is not new. This came before planning board.
Yep.
Planning board got eyes on it.
And planning board
Jerry
same reservations as Jerry and I.
Jerry submitted a letter. And then we added our other contingencies.
Yes.
Okay, but what are the extenuating circumstances that we would, depart from our normal protocol here? Why would we do this?
The developers, apparently the developer has got some traction on lot sales there.
Okay.
And National Grid and Ryan, there's two factors in play here. Ryan Homes won't start construction until they can close on the lots. They can't close on the lots until the plat is filed.
Okay.
We have put restrictions on the developer that he can't file the plat until the road is complete to Giddings Trail, or Giddings Cross development. So he's in a catch-22 of, I've got these 10 lots sold that they want to start construction on, but the soil conditions currently aren't
for the road, for the rest,
for the rest of the road construction aren't good enough for it to for me to construct the road at this time. And if I try to construct the road at this time, the town's
we're going
to
kill them.
We're going to
really
we're going to make them undercut the whole thing, so, and we're going to end up with a road with 3 feet of stone.
So normally in a development, the road goes in first.
Correct.
And it's done because the conditions allow the road to be put in.
Correct.
What Mario and you guys are saying is the conditions don't allow me to put the road in yet. I can build houses, but I can't put the road
on the piece of the development that road is in.
Right.
He can build houses on it.
Right.
But it's just not. It's. You sink into your. I'll put it this way. I walked the site on Monday afternoon. There were spots that, where they hadn't put pipe in the ground, where I was sinking to my above my ankles.
You should have been with me when I broke down in there.
Yeah, it's sloppy. It really is. It's.
I would want to protect us against ending up with a bad road,
exactly.
Which is my most major concern.
How do we do that?
Well, we're going to use our normal protocol of proof roll the subgrade, we're going to proof roll the stone.
I would want to put a kind of a restriction on, I mean, we've got them asphalted out 500 feet.
Yeah, 616, I think, is what it is, yeah.
That was to get them started. That was to get the utilities in. That was to get National Grid to work. I think that's been completed from what you're telling me. National Grid's got the utilities all the way up through there?
No, National Grid said they won't come in until the road is complete. Well, no, they won't.
They won't work in the mud.
No, because they did their design based on the whole thing being complete. They will make them start all over and go back through the design process to do a section.
Yeah.
And the developer doesn't want to pay to go through that design process.
Can't blame them. I'm just trying to work this out where we end up with a good road. He ends up with what he needs, and we protect ourselves. Now, your numbers seem to protect us in case we had to build the road
by
default. I would put some kind of a stipulation on this that would say he's not allowed. I mean, the whole key to this is he wants us to pretend we're accepting a road that isn't even there yet, so that he can do what he has to do to close on lots, to generate money, to move forward, whatever. But I would want some kind of a stipulation on this that says that he's not even allowed to even touch that area with a dozer to begin to put in his subgrade materials and that until we've said, yeah, it appears to be dry enough, go ahead and keep building the road now. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I see what
you're saying. A guy can come in here and push in bulk loads and make it appear really well.
Well,
until the first time we go through a freeze-thaw cycle.
Well, I was going to say, I'll say this. Jerry has too. We've been around construction a long time, and both Jerry and I are sticklers when we proof roll these. If anything pushes in front of the truck tires,
you're done.
You're done. You box it out another foot. You put another foot of stone in, and you bridge the soft spot. Right now, if we tried to proof roll that, there isn't anything. Well, one, you couldn't run a 10-wheeler down a proof roll right now. So with that being said, what Jerry's getting at,
I don't want him to start trying to do it without us knowing.
Do you want to?
Well, they always give us a call.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to start doing the final road base. I want to see it before they do it. I want to be able to walk down there and say, yeah, this appears dry enough underneath.
Well, that's what we do when we proof roll this upgrade.
Right, but I don't want them pushing it in there to get it ready for us to proof roll until I've seen what they're putting it over the top of. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the road's already degraded. It's actually about 3/10 high is what they've told me.
Okay.
And they have to push that 3/10 off before they start put paper down and start pushing stone out. So no matter what, they got to bring a dozer in there and bring it to subgrade, clean the mud off before they can start. So, and then they...
I guess I want to be aware of it before they do that.
They always call us when they're getting ready to do that.
Lost.
Yeah, I mean...
You know,
they're not going to, quite frankly, they know they only have 3/10 to work with.
Yeah,
and if they go any lower, if they have to cut more off, they got to put more stone in. So that's that to their disadvantage to open it up before it's ready.
I just don't want to see them work it wet.
Yeah.
That's my
and I don't... They aren't going to work it wet simply because they only got 3/10 to play with right now.
Realize they were that close.
Yeah, there's no advantage. There's no advantage to. I mean, they're within 4 inches of grade. There's no advantage to them scraping this off until it's dry. I mean, they're going to be screwing. Quite frankly, they're going to be
hurting themselves.
Yeah,
I'll help you out here.
Yeah, they're going to be shooting themselves in the foot if they open it up before it dries out. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're just going to
that's my
money.
Thing. I want us protected against covering up mud.
Yeah.
I just don't like it when I see some things done. So
were you going to say something?
I mean, we've got some roads like we milled and filled last year that somebody wasn't paying attention back in the day. I don't know who to blame, so I ain't even going to try. But when we go in and mill off an inch and a half and we're exposing dirt because there's no binder coat under it, I get really upset when I see that because now we're paying $75, $80 a ton for base mix because there wasn't any put in when the road was built originally. That is just somebody wasn't paying attention back then.
Right. So my concern is that doesn't happen again.
I want the opportunity to be able to put eyes on it before they start doing something, you know. Some of these guys get in a hurry.
I'm obviously not the expert that Al and Jerry are. But the simple answer to your question, Bob, is follow the established procedures and protocol. that's the way you get it done right, what's in the code. But what Jerry just says is, even when you do that,
well, I mean, I think the difference was then you're dealing with a consulting firm.
You have no oversight.
Well, that's the thing. You gotta have, somebody's got to be looking.
Yeah, I mean, on a regular basis. And we...
Well,
yeah, if it's not necessary,
it's
I'm not
just
convinced that we move forward.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because you're trying to accommodate a builder who's been a friend of the town. They're good people to work with. And, but accepting ownership of a road that isn't even constructed, no.
Well, I'm
that's
totally confused. If I'm, what I'm hearing is he has to build the road anyway, and he's and it's to his advantage to build it in during dry.
Yeah, but see, he can start building homes now. He can't put the rest of the road in until
he's got a section of road that's hard and good. And
so for him, it's time. It's time.
So why
it's
can't
not,
we just accept that section?
Because the planning board and you guys
denied it a month ago.
Yeah, denied it.
We made him do what he did.
Yes.
He didn't want to do it then. Now he's saying, fine, I will put the securities up so that if I go away, that you'll still have the money to build the road. This is the whole road. I wasn't comfortable with what was being proposed at first.
He's agreed to do it what we asked him to do.
I mean, there are two other contingencies in my letter to the board. He still hasn't tested the sewers there. That'll need to be done before the final plat can be filed. And the he has to construct a gravel turnaround for emergency vehicles at the end of the existing paved section. So if a fire truck pulls in there, they got a place to turn around to get back out. They don't have to back all the way down the street.
We also,
if for some reason there was no way to get pavement in there by next year, you got some homes in there, people living in there, we got to be able to turn a plow truck around 600 feet down that lake.
Yeah. So that's the...
That's a good one.
Those are the two things that I said had to be done before the final plat could be filed.
But the town also made a promise to the citizens that have moved into that section that they would not have any more of the houses than whatever the number is until that road was connected, so that you had two access
points,
routes to that subdivision.
As I recall,
you've got what, 69 homes with two people per home plus children. You've got how many people who have one access to their property with an emergency? And they were promised. And if I were promised, I'd be very upset that the town was not going to allow any more building until that road was constructed. The contractor is a professional. He should know what he's doing. You know, if he's got himself,
he had all last summer to build that road.
Well, that's my, they started putting sewers in there in August. And then they pulled, it was the end of July. And they pulled off the site and didn't come back until October. And we all know what the end of last year, the last 90 days of the construction season last year, we had 75 days of rain.
And they know they have a wet site. You know, it's been there for a while.
Not our fault.
If the board goes forward with this, we are making an exception that we normally don't make.
I think we're setting a precedent we don't need to set. And based on what I've heard from Al and from the conversation tonight, there's no reason why we need to move forward.
So what happens if the houses get built on the existing road and that's as far as it goes?
We pull the securities and we contract to finish the road.
And we don't want, there's no more houses. I'm not getting.
No, so he'll wait. He'll wait to build. If we don't approve this, then he'll wait to build those houses.
Until we can
finish the road.
The connecting road.
Correct.
And then he can open up the other lots.
Correct.
There was also a maintenance contingency on it too, that we made sure that the HOA would not have to pay to maintain the existing 10 lots in the older part of the subdivision. It's up to you guys. I mean, like I say, I wasn't comfortable with what was originally proposed. I wanted the securities in place before we considered it. he didn't want to do it at the time. He wants to do it now.
Right, but we got, that was like, we got put into a position of not wanting to do something that we wouldn't have wanted to do in the first place. You want to build a development, go build it. Just follow the rules that everybody follows.
Right. And like Yale mentioned, he had plenty of time last year to do it.
What's this buy him anyways, a month?
Pardon?
Buys him a month, maybe?
It depends on the weather. I mean, if we get rain every day for the whole month of May, I mean, you can't control Mother Nature. She's finicky.
We didn't have the problem this fall.
I mean, we could end up with a spring just like the fall we had last year.
Worst case scenario is we do this, and he's not going to do it, but there's nothing to say he couldn't. He walks away after building his houses on the existing road. We have to build the rest of the road, and we would never build that road.
No, we would pull a security.
He walks away from $500,000 too.
Yeah, he gives us.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have to use it.
Oh, if we did nothing tonight.
Yeah. And we don't want. Why are we building roads if to nowhere? I can't support this.
Well, you wouldn't really be building it to nowhere.
Yeah, you're building.
You're connecting,
it
to Giddings.
To Giddings Crest.
And that gives the second egress entrance. Exit for
so that's the only advantage, true advantage that I can see for the town. This guarantees that that road gets built, regardless of what happens with Mario.
But like Jim mentioned, the town made a commitment at one point that we weren't going to build any more homes until that road was completed.
So yeah, it was no more than 60 until the connecting road was completed. There's currently 10 lots left in Section 2, Sections 1 and 2, total 60 homes. So right now
there's 50 homes.
But he can't file
this tonight. Safety reasons, you've agreed to a road that doesn't have a turnaround for any safety vehicles.
No, there'll be a hammerhead. That's one of the things I said in my letter, that the planning board chair wouldn't be able to sign the final plat until the sewers were
tied. My concern is he starts building houses all over the part that he can get to, and there's no turnaround.
Yeah, no,
no,
we,
that's
we have that. We got that covered. Yeah,
I mean, I know you covered
before,
it last
before. I can sign any plat that has to be there.
Yes,
and there's several other conditions.
Right. I can see piecemeal. I want this lot. I want that lot. And you've opened up 30 lots, probably.
Well, part of what's happened is they didn't complete the sale of all the lots in
Phase two.
Yeah. They're 10 short. But because the lots in 3A, the next section, are more attractive to buyers they got now, people are starting to buy them and not buying these. But here's the reality. The reality is Mario came in here, made a proposal. We said, no, we're not going with that. We told him what it would take to even consider it, and he said, no, I'm okay, I'll go back, I'll take care of it. The man is going to build the road, he's going to complete that development, he's selling those houses in Section 3A, and he'll probably start selling them in 4 pretty quick. But he was prepared to build the road on his own terms and follow the town code right up until yesterday. And that's because all of a sudden,
they're selling.
You got a couple of quick sales. So the road is going to get built. The only question from my perspective is before the town is, are they prepared to set a precedence on approving roads that aren't even built to help someone gain a month or two in a construction cycle?
That's a great summary, Jack. That's truly what it is. This isn't normally how we do things. He's asked for something, and
yeah, he came up with a minimum that we would consider.
You have established protocols, right? And you're talking about going against your established protocols.
It's absolutely allowed by the town code. It's absolutely allowed by the town code. But the town board in the past that I'm aware of has never accepted a road until the asphalt binder course was placed.
And why was that?
I can't answer that. I just said it's never... It's never come up in my history of being here.
So if you're the engineer, if you were to guess, why would they have done that?
Well, I mean, it's...
Because
there's risk involved in any construction project, as you know. So by doing this, you are taking on a certain amount of risk. You're taking on the risk of having to call his bond, contract, complete the road.
So why would the town, what benefit is it to the town to do that?
I think we've discussed this.
We discussed it, that there isn't.
There really isn't. He's asked for a favor and
There is somewhat. The benefit to the town is that we have securities in place that the road will get built. Whereas if the developer walks, you've got a subdivision that will have 60 homes one way in and one way out.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. All right, if E goes down, Al, what other motions should go down as well?
F and
G.
Right?
Yes.
G.
What's that?
If G goes down.
No, if E goes down.
E, F, and G.
E is the punch list security. The dedication is G. E is setting the punch list security for that length of road. F is the
maintenance guarantee.
Maintenance guarantee. And she's got that wrong. I just caught that. Or not necessarily wrong. The board has the discretion to set the maintenance guarantee between 25% and 100% of the value of the project, which 25% is $197,694. The full value of the project is $790,775. Historically, the board has only required 25% for a maintenance guarantee because the road's already constructed. So if the board were to consider this, they could go, you can set it anywhere between 25 and 100% of the value of the project by the town code. F is that $790,775 is...
That's the 100%.
That is 100%. And that's, I mean, that's your discretion if you want to put it in at 25%, 50%, 75%, 100%.
I'm pleading total confusion here.
Okay.
If we want Mario to follow normal protocols, just build your road and then come back to us and ask us to...
Table E, F, and G.
E, F, and G is what we table.
Yeah, or you take them off, remove them from the agenda.
Is that what the board wants to do?
That's what I want to do.
And D we want to keep. D has nothing to do with this?
Yeah, D and C and D have nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Yeah, we can rescind those.
All right.
Because he's not going to move forward to that, obviously.
Rather than vote them down, do you want to just pull them from the agenda?
Yeah.
That's what we...
All right.
Remove E, F, G.
Perfect. This was really a good conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Appreciate that. Then we can move on to junk in the trunk sale. How come you're doing some stuff in junk in the trunk and some of it you're just getting rid of?
Some of it's really junk.
Hey, there's a boat anchor in there. There's like a boat anchor in there. It's the typewriter.
You don't think you can get a dollar for that, huh? You know, every dollar counts.
Yeah.
You know, it might be an antique. I got to say, it's probably over 25 years old.
So should I move item I, that you move all those items to the junk in the trunk sale?
and then whatever doesn't sell, then we talk.
I think
I don't know. Dave Raleigh is pretty. He's pretty frugal, and for him to put that on a junk list,
all right,
it's junk.
It's pretty bad.
All right. The only other thing that I had, and it's not on the agenda, I was wondering if I'm the only one that's confused, or if we should have Teresa come in and explain to our residents, including the board, what's going on with Star.
We had her do that, but I have no problem bringing her back.
She did that already?
Yeah. Last year.
Well, no, with the new rules?
Yeah.
Yes. We're handling it. The towns are handling the new Star because the state would mess it up for sure. So, but definitely.
She's done it a couple of times. But
we'll have her come in again.
You know, this last article in the newspaper a few weeks ago, it says homeowners could miss out Star property if they don't switch to the state's new program. It made it sound like the municipalities had no business in it anymore.
No. So we could have outsourced the communication of that change to the state, but again, we knew they'd mess it up.
Isn't this the pilot program that we were working on with the county, or?
No, that's something different. We handled that. We sent out all the flyers, and we personally handled all those STAR exemptions.
The deadline is passed at this point in time.
Yeah.
So if you did not register for your senior STAR exemption, you are out of luck.
This year,
until next year.
But she came in, and we had her go over that.
I mean,
the paper's late on reporting it.
It can't hurt.
I don't think it would hurt. I mean, and Barkley wrote an article in the Messenger a week or so ago, basically saying under the new law, it doesn't say anything about the municipality still having a role.
Right. We were proactive in that. We didn't leave it up to the state. Everybody who was eligible for STAR exemptions received something from our assessor's office.
Yep. Barkley, I must be the only one confused.
I mean, we got whaled down with phone calls. Yep. I mean, you want to see something sad. You put out information like that to our senior community that's just trying to keep up with everything that's going on and try to explain that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we did it, and we didn't leave it up to the state. So, but having Teresa come in is no problem. I mean, it's having Teresa explain this again, and I'm sure she would do it. I mean, she's got, I think... Grievances are going to start kicking in quick. It's passed. The paper was late in reporting it.
All right. So yeah, if she could, that would be great. I think other people will benefit as well, because it just seems if all you knew was to read these two articles, I don't think you would know that the town of Lysanders is saying, "Don't worry, we're handling your
What's
problem."
What's the time limit on that?
On STAR exemptions,
yeah, people.
I thought it was March 31st.
So if you bring her in now,
March. Yeah,
it's too late.
She's reporting on something that's old news.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
a couple of months old.
You might confuse them even more by saying, come in and talk to you, and it's too late.
You might make them pay attention more come next year.
What we should do next year is we should be proactive. She did come in.
The good thing about the program is you don't have to renew every year once you've done it once. They can actually access your income records, and you don't have to do this. Like before the senior STAR exemption, you had to do it every year. Now that the state database is built, you won't have to renew every year.
Correct. Maybe if we could remember to put her to come in on the, sometime before February or somewhere around there.
And she did that. I mean, she tried to get ahead of it.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe she'll ever come back next year.
Yeah, she's really good about getting in front of these things.
Yeah, because your letters came out in November or December. Because I had my application and everything before the first of the year. So I just filed it in February 1st. I filed it.
Send it in.
Yeah, you were way ahead of the curve.
So C&D's staying on, because he's still going to move forward, right, with the other part of the...
Yeah, I mean, we're
rescinding those.
There's not going to be a 3A section.
Right.
There's not going to be a 3A section, so that will...
We still have to rescind
those. Having those resolutions on the books.
Okay. All right. So we can just go into an adjournment.
Bid for the paving projects, is that a 10-day requirement?
Five. It's 5 days.
5 days. So if the ad runs Sunday, we could open bids the following Monday, which would be the 4th.
16th.
If it goes on Sunday, if it's advertised on Sunday, you got 5 days, you can open on Friday.
Friday.
I'd rather open it on Monday, the 13th, but we can.
I'm not sure the weekend's going to make any difference, Friday or Monday.
Well, I'd rather.
You'd be surprised.
I think I'd rather.
You'd be surprised.
If we're gonna go forward with that, I would rather open
Friday,
it.
Friday, ASAP.
Okay.
Because we have.
We can't do anything with it until
the
16th, the next board.
We award them. When we award it.
Yeah, you gotta have a resolution awarding. Yeah, which
means to do a phone.
Can't do a phone.
Huh?
Can't do a phone vote. No such thing.
We've done phone polls. And then memorialized them.
It doesn't mean anything.
Technically,
the resolution is when you meet in public.
Yeah.
It's gotta be done at an open.
I just wanna make sure that we
have larger.
It's going to be done
long
meeting.
Enough, and then we open them on the correct day. That's all. If you want to do it Friday,
I
make some.
We can. I don't care if we call a meeting. We can call a meeting if to accommodate the schedule. I mean, it's going to be it'll be the fastest meeting this town's ever had.
You could do a meeting.
What?
We'll just call a meeting.
We'll call a meeting on Monday afternoon. 5 o'clock, and just open the biz and.
I get out of work at 5:30, so it's going to.
Okay, 5:30.
Awesome.
I don't care.
If you want to do that, it saves a few days.
Yeah.
Just so I said it, okay, you've heard it. You want to push for this bid deal, okay? And if this is the case, all right, I just want to ask, according to our own town procurement procedures that are right here in our minutes from our organizational meeting, okay? I just want to ask the question, and correct me if I'm wrong, but under these following examples, you don't have to do this bid process, okay? Emergencies, sole source situations where we only have one vendor that can do something for us, okay? Goods purchased from the blind or severely handicapped, goods purchased from correctional facilities, from another government agency, goods purchased at auction, goods purchased for less than 500, public works contracts for less than 500, but the kicker is goods purchased at or below state or county bid prices. Now, in this particular case, the goods that would be being purchased are hot mix asphalt projects, okay? And the difference between a county bid price right now and the price this vendor is willing to come here and do our hot mix asphalt work for.
Without being specific, is lower.
Substantially. Enough so as I can add another road easily to our hot mix project. And that's our end goal, is to do as many feet of highway, redo, remaintain, whatever you want to call it, as possible. So I still, in my heart of hearts, don't understand why we're playing around with the bid thing when I have a deal sitting on the table.
Because
that is very good.
This is why.
I want to hear.
This is why. Because if one guy's willing to cut you such a great deal, why wouldn't we give everyone else an opportunity to give? Maybe you'll get that good deal. Maybe you'll get a better deal.
Oh, it'd be great.
But it's $300,000 worth of work.
Yes.
We should bid it.
The controller of the state of New York says
we should bid it. And we are going to have that policy reviewed.
Right.
Because our comptroller's 30 years of service in this town.
Mm-hmm.
We've never not bid it.
Or gone off a county contract.
Right.
Right.
So I had a conversation with a state controller today who said we should bid it. My attorney, the town's attorney, says we should bid it. We cannot get hurt by bidding it.
Right.
We should bid.
I'm just saying the extra effort, the risk of messing up a schedule that could put us into another month.
5 days.
Cost us, right. So the five-day thing is helping you, okay?
It's helping everybody.
That's right.
Right.
I just want you to clarify, though, and straighten this up, because you can't have a procurement one way and have a guy operating in these kind of dollars when he sees an opportunity to save substantial amounts of money and cover more ground, and tell me you can't do that when you're telling me I can.
Well, the only thing that would mess this up, and you said that...
You were asking me about the other issue. The, hang on. One second. The quick quote reduction in price, it's a legitimate document, okay? And it's actually put out on the OGS website. Okay, so that's one of your biggest procurement contract price organizations. That's where this comes from. Okay, what I told you about earlier today, the thing that they operate under that makes this legal, that makes it auditable. You know, I just want you to know that. And then right here, you know, you got, this came from our own comptroller, okay? And is a good read, and piggybacking county contracts, state contracts, OGS. I mean, that's what runs all this bidding process and pricing and, you know, all this other stuff. So I just want to know why we're going through this. It just seems strange to me that
what
I secured an opportunity to... I read that book too. We can contradict this back and forth all night long.
Well,
I just want it clarified for the future what's going to have to be bid and what isn't.
The thing that you got to do.
Because you throw a number out of $300,000, so is my oil and stonework.
But that's being done on a county bid.
No, it isn't. Below county bid.
But those are bidders on the county bid list.
Yeah, the bidders, they bid the county bid. They're on the county bid, and they sharpen their pencils. They won the bid and are going below their own bid,
which they can do. The other thing you got to remember.
I understand.
The other thing you got to remember is where there's a conflict. If there's a conflict between the town law and the state law prevails.
Correct.
And we're talking to the controller, who goes by state law, and he's saying,
"Well, let's fix this then, so it eliminates the confusion."
And also, in the
I have that. Okay. I highlighted that.
Yeah.
That I was going to give to Tony and ask him to review this to see if that item under guidelines.
So it sure makes it hard for me in working with my vendors when I say, hey, give me a price on this, and I get a price on this, and then I got to call back and say, oh, nope, never mind, now you got to bid it. And then, oh, nope, doesn't look like you have to. Now, now we're going to bid it again. I mean, really? Okay, so let's get on the same page.
Well, I'll tell you, the best way for everyone to get on the same page is to have regular highway meetings. I don't know why we're not utilizing that. That's two board members. That's our engineer. That's our legal counsel is available. Our comptroller is available at any time. The highway committee's got to be utilized. And just to read from the town highway superintendent manual, it says, please note that buying from a dealer offering the same price or better price than a federal, state, county, local, or cooperative contract is not an authorized exemption to competitive bidding. I don't know. That's black and white, and I don't know how we're hurt by bidding out $300,000 worth of road.
Not only that.
Well, I hope we're not.
We shouldn't be.
Right. I hope we're not. But I'm just saying I want clarification on, so when we're working with these vendors, that we know as a group, as a town, as a board, as a highway superintendent, when we have to do this and when we have to do that. Because I have my procurement policy here established by you, and I'm trying to follow it, and it's not working.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of, as over the last 3 years, if you look at some of the documents that we've addressed, our policies, that's the reason why we're addressing policies, our employee handbook, the code. There's a lot of things that are in need of repair that we're finding.
Right.
But what I'm
saying is, in this instance, Joe, it sure does make it embarrassing for me working with vendors when we're trying to secure them to do this kind of volume of work and save money for taxpayers.
Your intentions are good, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah,
your intentions are superlative. But what this is, and it's
the difference between government and the private sector. It's going to protect you. It's going to protect everybody from being from any kind of suspicion or like what's going on. It's transparency. And sometimes government is slow as molasses, but it, you know, being transparent is the most important thing. And that's why this is here. You know,
but it doesn't always have to be slow as molasses.
You're right, but it this really does protect you and everybody else involved in that decision.
So it's just. Let's get it fixed.
Absolutely.
So it's for easier to operate.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right.
Are we done?
We're done. Let me pause this every time.